Welcome back, y'all, to another episode of Hip Hop Babies.
Yes, Sirski.
It was deadly. You know, I got my boy Ray with me as always. I'm about to get into this new Boldy James, Nicholas Craven penalty leadership. It's exciting, man. We got the series two of Nick Craven and Boldy James. You know, what an electric combo. We all know Nicholas Craven as being the sample chop god. You know, the man who uses no drums, but somehow, you know, still brings some of the hardest beats to the game. Boldy James, Detroit rap legend. We've been tuned in since Price of Tea in China back in 2020, early pandemic era. So this is what our second, third, maybe fourth Boldy James review at this point.
Yeah, but projects wise, this is like eighth, ninth, tenth, whatever. He dropped a lot of projects.
We deep
And
in there, man.
the work ethic is to be noted. But last year, he got in an accident. So it was like, oh, damn, what's going to happen? Obviously, he had to slow down, take a break, heal up because the injury, he had to go through rehab and stuff and everything. As we'll get into when we talk about the tracks, because he talks about it. He's made projects since the accident, but this one, he kind of touches on it more. And even I think in the album cover, he references the accident as far as like him going into the ambulance and stuff, right? So,
Yeah, bro. With all his ice on, he got the
yeah.
neck cover because you know
Of
he
course,
fucked up
of
his
course.
spine.
You gotta stay fresh in a dire circumstance.
Yeah, they hitting this nigga with the defibrillator, bringing him back to life, bro. It's kind of funny, not gonna lie. Thank God, you know, we still got Bodie here, man. Always scary losing somebody that you love. I love you, Bodie.
Glad to hear and to see that he's back.
So this is the first time we actually got into it where he has been recording since the accident, because you know Nicholas Craven was the first one in the studio with him. After his incident, this is
Yeah.
new era.
And Nick was tweeting. He seemed excited to get back into it because Fair Exchange, No Robbery was a top tier project in 2022. I think we both had it in our list. I think I had it in my top five. Maybe you did too. But either way, it was a project that deserved to be talked about more because they didn't really miss on that project. I mean, pretty much every sample, every song was sequenced well. I think they've worked together before that, but for them to collaborate on that level and have that much chemistry was dope. It was
It's
a
pretty
dope
crazy,
listen.
man. Boldy James is one of those rappers who's going to get a new producer every time. He's going to try to keep a similar style. I really appreciate that about him because, you know, a lot of different artists will kind of just get a conglomerate of producers and not have any real clear artistic direction on their projects. I would say getting one producer to do the majority of the producing on your album just makes it flow better. It makes it like a little bit easier to understand, just kind of thematically, beat wise, like what they're doing. And you kind of get to see an artist explore a different avenue without necessarily changing their sound. Call back to Fair Exchange, No Robbery. So, you know, we got version of Boldy that we've seen before. Definitely got something more to say this time, something
Yeah.
new, something.
Yeah.
You know, he's a little more hungry. Let's get into it, man.
Out the gate, I'll tell you when I was first listening to this, I think Fair Exchange, No Robbery was obviously from a different time period. Boldy was on a run, continuing to drop dope after dope after dope project, right? And this was
Yeah.
another one that came out like right in between. This one, obviously, after the accident, I think because he had more to say, the project came off more like boom, like it had to hit. And it had to hit hard out the gate. And a formal invite, even the track title, like this is a formal invite to what I'm about to get into. And that was a perfect way to set the tone. I was surprised at how urgent that sounded, especially with the way the sample keeps going over and over. And it's like, whoo, Bodie just keeps going. You know what I'm saying?
Shots ring out, people
People
shout.
shout.
That's what happens when Bodie come to
And
town, bruh.
then, like you say, he doesn't use like drums a lot. But he almost uses this sample to make the hard-hitting sounds,
They're
right?
there, man. It's just how he mixes it, you know, like
Yeah.
the you can hear the snare, you can hear the hi-hats in the back, man. You just gotta have a ear that works. He beat the allegations. He had a lot of different times where he was using drum patterns that I thought were, you know, pretty good. And but the highlight of his producing style, he definitely highlights the sample, like you said. It's just the most prominent part of it. But I really like that, you know, about Nicholas Craven's style, the way that the shit rides in the background and then Boldy's going to ride on top of it. It's like kind of like a synergy between him and the sample. His like really monotone, steel cold cadence like cuts right through the singing. They're so different. It just works. Beautiful thing to see. Beautiful thing to hear.
You know, this project wasn't as upbeat as Fair Exchange, No Robbery, right? Because you have moments on here, but then for the most part, it's more slow. Some of the songs are somber. The titles, he always has like titles about maybe trapping or like a tragedy or something, like something that's like happening. But these ones, I feel like, no pun intended, Early Worms Gets Birds, Formal Invite, Murderous Tendencies, Speedy Recovery, even some of the samples were almost digging at the fact that he went through what he went through. And of course, he had to build himself back up. And some people were there for him. Some people obviously weren't, or they were thinking he might check out. You know, he didn't. Yeah, he came back with another one, man. I've already been replaying this a lot with the extra depth that is Boldy opening up about a current situation, because I feel like sometimes in the past he's telling a story or he's talking about something that happened in the past, you know, as far as like when he was trapping. This song had more relevant topics as far as like what he's going through now. I think it made it hit a little harder, at least for me. And I think it's added to the replayability already. Yeah, Jack Frost, not trying to completely go in order, but Jack Frost was a highlight. Damn near my favorite track.
Really crazy strings on that, you know, where just coming in, that plucking in the string and then the violins like coming in. Like, yeah, crazy, bro. Way Your Baby Ice and shit, they call him Jack Frost, bro. Like, So, you know, he's still talking his shit, bro. You saying that he's not always talking about, like, that same shit, but he still had it, bro. Soccer Mom as well, you know, Crash Course and Moving Ix, this shit, Stocks and Bonds. I had the dashboard doing tricks in that Soccer Mom. He's still talking about that shit, bro. But I like the way that he did it in this one. I thought it was visceral, you know, face punch, bro. Like you saying, like, murderous intent. Like, he really had that murderous intent during this entire project, I felt like.
Yeah.
It's just such a great contrast to the nice, lovely beats that Nicholas Craven be making, because...
Yeah.
Some of them sound like it's gonna be nice, like Jack Frost one, bro. He could be talking about like, you know, sunshines and fucking rainbows on there, but yeah, that's not what it is, bro.
That was like the more upbeat one on this album. I kind of knew after No Pun Intended that it might go this route, because I like that single a lot. I was playing it a lot, and I think that people complain about Craven sometimes because they feel like, oh, he's a one-trick pony, or oh, da da da. But nah, I don't think so. I think the samples he uses changes, and I think the way he chops them up is usually unique. Even if it's simple, sometimes you don't have to do too much.
It's not always simple, bro. It's
no.
Some of these tracks, like, you know, using the same part, but like cutting it in half for the first part. But then when you get later in the track, you know, he starts extending it out a little bit, using different parts of the song. And we get to the end of the song, you know, revealing what the sample is and stuff, so you can hear it, bro. Those are just like really great parts that fill up the gaps in between. You know, when Boldy's not rapping, there's never a dull moment with Nicholas Craven producing. People who would complain about him being a one-trick pony, you're kind of missing the point of what he's doing here.
I agree.
Evil Genius, really great track too. I like the fact that, you know, he's talking about what he's doing is inherently evil, but, you know, he's just so good at it, bro. He's the only one who made it out the hood.
I liked how on that song he said once he makes it, or like if he gets nominated for a Grammy, they're going to hold the drug dealing he did against him, because all the songs, if he were to cross over, I think a lot of people would just be like, oh, his music is good, it's catchy. But if they look into it and listen to what he's talking about and maybe look into certain other things, they'd be like, oh, he really is an evil genius, or like, oh, he's not someone to play with. And I think that, yeah, this was another way of pointing that out. And it was dope. I love that he knows that his history is always relevant. It's always going to come back. When he does talk about it, it's always from a reflective stance a lot of the time, I feel like. Sometimes he's just talking shit. Sometimes he's just bragging. But sometimes it almost comes off like he's looking at what he did, and he's like, I wonder if it's going to come back and bite me, because at this point, you know, I'm blowing up, putting in the work, and the numbers are flowing in. But it's like, your history might come back and bite you. Or, you know, it just might haunt you in certain ways when it comes to connections.
At least he's not Kanye.
Yeah. Not everyone has the ability to do that, just do whatever they want with no repercussions sometimes. But I think that's what makes Boldy kind of relatable. You might not do some of the stuff he raps about, of course, but I try to sometimes take what he says and be like, okay, that makes sense. Dealing with a friend that, like he says on a No Pun Intended, you know, when you have friends like this, who needs enemies? You know, sometimes you start to realize who are your real friends and who are your fake friends who are really going to support you. And then you look back, you're like, man, I had ops around me all the time, acting like they was my friends, acting like they was going to do something, but they really weren't. And then when shit hits the fan, they don't reach out, they don't do nothing. You know what I'm saying? I think that he comes off cold, but obviously he has a heart there. Obviously he has moments. He knows what he's doing is wrong, but you gotta keep hustling, man. You gotta keep flowing.
That's what he is, bro. I mean, he's persevering through the struggle. I mean, every time he opens up about, you know, some shit, it's always about his upbringing being not the best. I mean, we got a whole album of that with Majors on McNichols, going really deep into his upbringing and shit. And I thought one of the tracks that really got into what he was talking about, like that being straight A's. He's just like, I dropped out of high school, but my daughter is now here making straight A's. Isn't that crazy how life just, you know, turns around like that sometimes, you know, just because you keep sticking with it, bro. It's really motivational. I'll tell you what, man, I was writing these notes at like 2:30 a.m., man. I was like, man, this man Boldy got a donut around his neck and he's still spitting these bars right now.
Yeah.
What am I doing, bro? 3 a.m. I need to get to work.
Yeah. I feel like he knows how to open up about his trauma pretty comfortably as well, because you have brand new Chanel kicks, starts with the accident report. It's almost like, you know, someone reporting on the accident that happened, and he goes into it, like I said, on speedy recovery, like, because this is still kind of recent. Talks about how he had to go through rehab and get his movement and stuff back right. Uh-huh. And he's able to get into a pocket and not come off like he's just like rapping about it just to rap about it. Like, it seems like he actually had some stuff to point out or some stuff to say. So it came out in a song that was actually good. It wasn't forced. It didn't feel like, oh man, now I have to address this topic. It felt like he just wanted to touch on it and make a dope song, which I appreciate, because sometimes, you know, not everyone can do, you brought up Ye earlier, but not everyone can do it through the wire. We've seen other rappers try to make songs about an accident or a moment, you know, maybe a controversial moment that happened, and it comes off kind of like, you should have probably just moved past it, you know? You might not be the best at telling stories about certain incidents in your life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, storytelling is a skill, man. I mean, Boldy's got it for sure. He's saying all the right things, man. That's what it is, man. He's talking about some stuff that, like, I could relate to with learning unhealthy coping mechanisms, where when you cry, that's when you know you're wrong. That's what he learned when he was growing up. I was like, damn, bro. Not everybody allowed to cry in the households, man. I mean, shit, yeah. I would find myself crying for different reasons, trying to figure out myself, trying to figure out what these feelings are without trying to be girly or whatever, you know? You know what it is? Just being like these toxic mindsets of what you got to be. You know, that shit shaping him and making him into who he is. You ain't working, you know, 40 hours a week, putting in that overtime, you know, can't make your rental payment. You feel like the Bay Area is too expensive for you, man. Put on some of that Boldy James, man. You gonna make some bands, bro. I'm telling you.
I think on Fair Exchange, No Robbery, he only had one feature on there. This one, I think it's the same thing, right? He has one feature.
Early Worm Gets Birds.
Yeah, he had one feature on here, Double D. You need some motivation, some hustle. You know, usually the saying is the other way around, but this time, hey, the worms get the birds, because they got up and they hustled and they overcame, you know, a bird trying to fuck them up. And they are now, they're at the top, right? And I think that was a clever way, just from the title, to get that across. You know, Double D, he had to shoot a shot. Double D had a funny line where he said, someone go tell Rocky he need to share Rihanna. There's a bunch of other lines on the song, but that line made me laugh. Boldy has that to him as well. He'll make you laugh with a reference. He'll make you laugh at a line that maybe you shouldn't laugh at, because the flow comes off kind of comedic, right? Even though he's monotone. I think that's that Detroit in him. You know, Detroit rappers, I feel like, say out-of-pocket stuff.
Some of the ad-libs, man. Yeah, he just really...
Yeah, okay, yeah. Care,
he was just talking, bro.
Yeah.
No, I really like that track too. I had a different interpretation for the beginning. I mean, I definitely got the worms beats the predator, the bird type thing, but you know, giving niggas some early worms, as in put that nigga in the dirt and give him some worms, and then you're gonna get more birds. So
Okay.
I thought that was another way that you could see it. So I thought it was really cool, you know, just doing the little stuff like that, playing with those, making the wordplay, just giving us more stuff to like look into. You know, he's really good at that. Shout out for him getting Double D on there, because I thought it was a funny verse, and I thought it was a good change of pace too. You know, I mean, you need a change of pace with this type of rapper. Like you said in the beginning, it's kind of slow. It's probably the most upbeat verse in the entire project right there from
Double. Yeah, yeah. The album's pretty slow. Especially, I think, compared to the first one. Straight and Tall.
Scrabble. Scrabble. O-Train 9.
Yeah.
Power Nap.
But this one was definitely different. It was more intense, I think. And I like that about it. You know, if you're going to follow up on a project that impressed me, go all in on the second one as well. You know, touch on topics that we haven't heard you touch on. And that's the thing about building chemistry. I said the first one, they had chemistry on. This one, they do as well. And I think they don't have like a group name or nothing, but obviously being a collaborative project, you know, them working together all the time, you have to be willing to try to do different things, even if you're doing it within the realm of the music you usually make. And I think they did that well here, because I was hyped going into this project, but considering everything that's happened, I didn't know how good it was going to be, or, you know, how much I would like it following the first one. Because sometimes, you know, the sophomore slump, sometimes the second project isn't as good as the first. And I'm not going to say this one is as good as the first, but I like it in a different way. And that's very important, because you don't want to be like, oh man, this is basically the same project and one of them is better. You know, I might like another one for a different reason. And I'm getting that with this.
I think that's important. And I think that for them, I mean, Boldy James is just so consistent. Really hard to say Boldy James is going to miss or going to do something that doesn't pique your interest. But I think one of the most important parts is him working with the right people to make his sound really stick. And I think that him working with Nick Craven again was the right move. For sure, 100%. He really does have a certain way in which he highlights Boldy's voice that nobody else really can capture except for him. So do it again, bro. Give me number three.
Yeah, if they do another project together, that'd be dope. Boldy, if he could get some of the Griselda guys to pop up too, I would like that. Even though he's been, to me, my favorite member of that group, like as far as my favorite member of the people that got signed to that group, he's on top right now. Like when he drops a project.
I think that Benny kind of in 2020-ish kind of took a different step than Boldy, you know, with the way that Griselda was getting pushed. Boldy signed to Griselda. I was feeling like Griselda was getting that big push, you know, after that Dr. Burrs. I think it was on Jimmy Kimmel Show or some shit performing that. That was crazy. And then Boldy signs after. I feel like Boldy is still in that lane where he's just going to get it like over and over again. And Benny's already like kind of broke that threshold, bro.
Yeah.
Like, he's already,
yeah,
like, you remember the album, you know, Burden of Proof with Benny? Like, that was really like a breakout moment with him. I feel like Boldy has never really had one of those albums where he's like, hey, y'all, I'm here now. Nah, it's just been like us, me, you.
Yeah, people were tapped in.
Yeah,
it's like, it reminds me of Isaiah Rashad. You know, Isaiah Rashad, he got signed to TDE after Black Hippie, the collective, you know, was really pushing. I think he was like one of the first young signees. And Isaiah Rashad arguably has a comparable discography with some of the other people in that collective, you know, from especially after, you know, Sylvia Demo, we just saw the 10-year anniversary, I think, right? And people were celebrating it. And, you know, his other projects have impact as well. I think Boldy is kind of like that, where he's not as big as the top guys, but if you really look at his catalog, he could be the best if you listen to music a certain way.
He makes his shit for his fans. Not trying to go mainstream.
No.
He's not trying to bring a bunch of people onto his project because, you know, get him extra streams and stuff. And I think that's really something that set him apart, is not compromising the sound for the reach. That's really a tough thing for artists nowadays, is compromising their style and their stuff for sound more mainstream so they can get more plays or whatever. Because nowadays it's harder and harder to ever become a superstar, man. There ain't no more Michael Jacksons, bro.
Everyone has to go out and show face and find ways to promote, and they really put that on the artist nowadays compared to how it used to be. And I think Boldy finds a way to promote his music and a way to obviously sell to the fans that tap in and connected with his music on whatever level they connected it to it with. You know what I'm saying? If he keeps dropping like this, and which I know he will, especially this year, if he drops like he did before the accident, like two or three more projects, and all of them have like top tier songs on them, even if they're not all top tier albums, but they're like, oh, this is really good. He'll definitely be respected at the end of his career. He's already building respect now. Probably has made connections with people that are in the game that knows what he's doing.
People have to stop trying to play into mainstream at this point, because you're going to fall off. They're going to get tired of you. They're going to let you go. That's literally their formula in the industry, man. And I think part of what Boldy kind of showed us in 2020 with the Price of Tea in China, because that was one of our most highly touted albums of the year, is style, authenticity, doing your own shit is the most important thing for an artist, because that's what draws in your fans. That's what keeps your fans loyal. And that's what gets you paid for life. Yeah. It's not that one day fame, bro.
Yeah. And he's been putting in work for years. Even before that project, you know, he had apparently been working with other rappers and been putting out like mixtapes, and he had connections with the Cool Kids. That's why Sir Michael Ross popped up on Indiana Jones so much. He was in the background of one of their videos. I forgot which one, but he shows with staying on your game and working on your craft that eventually people will tap in and you'll be able to reap all the benefits from all the work you put in. Even sometimes with content creators, I'm surprised that more people aren't talking about these projects. I remember Fair Exchange, No Robbery. I think people talked about it a little bit, but I don't know. I'd be expecting to see more reviews and opinions and more conversations where he's brought up as one of the better rappers in the game right now. One of the more consistent, well, you know, sometimes. Even within, but within the internet and stuff, I mean, I see him brought up, but I would expect it to be like basically like if Boldy's dropping Twitter, especially like, you know, underground rap Twitter would be talking
they'd
about
be on mute, bro.
I don't know. I'd be surprised. Shit. We talk about going to see artists live and stuff. I haven't seen him live, but next time if he comes out to the Bay, I'll definitely try to tap in.
He is
going
to come out to the Bay with Benny the Butcher.
So, yeah, I need to go see and see how the crowd and stuff interacts, because I feel like there's more people that know Bodie. Maybe it's because he has an old head fan base. You know, they're not on the internet as much, because I do know, like, my pops actually knows Bodie. He listens to Bodie. So it could be that. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's because he has...
Pops is too cool, bro. You need to tell brother to chill.
But I feel like the other ones found a way to be brought up more. And I know that's because, you know, Westside is crazy. He works with a bunch of artists, and so has Benny at this point. And Conway, he's an OG, and he really came up with them as well at this point. So it's a little different. But yeah, people need to put more respect on Bodie's name. And Nick Craven. Nick Craven, you showed me, man. If you get a dope rapper and y'all make a collab project, especially if y'all keep going, like y'all go back to back, you're not really going to mess up, and it's not a fluke. You do your thing pretty much all the time. I don't know if you checked out the project he did with Ransom, I think last year. That shit was dope too. So he knows how to work with rappers like this and give them what they need.
That's that real Canadian right there, Montreal. Stand up. I really don't get it though. You know, you're talking about Boldy not being talked about enough. I mean, you look at his scene, right? Like these and Babyface Ray are on top of that scene. I mean, like they're great rappers and all. But could they go bar for bar with Bodie? I don't think so.
But I mean, they make more catchy music. Babyface Ray just made an album for the summer, and Bodie's making more music for the trenches, or music for motivation for your 9 to 5. Even though you hustling in a different way. So of course, Babyface Ray does that, and Beast does that. But you know, they have different cosigns. They have different, you know, markets they appeal to. I'm hoping maybe it's there and I'm just not seeing it. Bodie will be praised more, and one of these projects, whether it's with Craven or it's with the other producers he works with or the other people he collabs with, one day I'm gonna go on Twitter or wherever, TikTok, and I'm just gonna see people saying, wow, this Bodie guy dropped the best album of the year. I think it'll happen
eventually. We'll get there, man. Price of Tea in China might have been the closest he ever got.
Yeah, and that was when he got signed to Griselda, yeah, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see, man. Really exciting stuff, though. Thank you so much, Boldy, for this project, man. It's really dope, like we've been saying this entire time. A lot of adversity to getting this album. Still delivered, man. Most consistent rapper in the game, even after he's, you know, got to take time off because he can't fucking talk, bro. Like, it's fucking crazy, man. Big props, bro.
2 for 2, Bodie and Craven. Yeah, this might be in my top 10 later. But we'll see how the rest of this year goes. This is a sneak peek. Maybe Vultures will be.
Which version?
I don't know.
By the time we get to the end of the year, it's going to be version 4, bro. You're going to have half the samples taken off the album, stripped away.
Yeah, and see. And he's supposed to drop volume 2 and 3 soon. So we'll talk about that next time.
All right, y'all, thank y'all so much. Make sure y'all like, comment, subscribe. Go ahead, hit that bell. Go ahead, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, at the Hip Hop Babies, on pretty much everything. TikTok, we just trying to do it, man. We just trying to make it. Bodie, motivate me, man. You're gonna make me be the best goddamn YouTuber in the world. So thank you again for this project. Y'all make sure y'all go stream that shit too. Go show some love. Say something in the comments. Share it with your family.
Shout out to Craven for the dope beats on this. Don't listen to the haters, the naysayers. Keep chopping up the beats you how you want to and giving them to the rappers who are taking them. And obviously, know you're talented because you worked with a lot of names in the underground. Probably even names in the mainstream that I don't know. Hopefully you will soon. Because people need to pay attention. We've seen Conductor, you know, work with people like Drake and stuff now. You know, maybe you'll get your shine like that too. Because you from Canada, you know, Drake might hit you up. You gotta pick up. Gotta pick up. But support the Patreon if you'd like. Thank you for watching.
And with that being said,
peace.